to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Kevin Freeman joins us from his remote location, I believe in Texas, where we often catch up with him. In fact, we do this each week, and I'm so pleased to be able to visit with men I've come to consider one of the country's foremost experts on economic warfare. This is the subject, of course, of his blog, economicwarfare.com, and of his two best-selling books, Secret Weapon and Game Plan. Check all of these out. They're fantastically valuable resources, as is Kevin himself. Welcome back, Kevin. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank.
So you've been writing a bit lately about the stage being set for the next financial attack, including three separate developments that feature prominently in the news in the past couple of days. Talk a little bit about them, Kevin, and why we should be interpreting them as ominous signs.
Well, the next financial attack is a serious problem because we've actually added to our debt. We've added to our derivative exposure. You know, everything that was the problem now 9, 10, 11 years ago is becoming a problem again, only worse. Our total debt now exceeds 105% of our gross domestic product. We have negative interest rates in certain parts of the world where people are actually paying someone to borrow money from them. We have really a disturbing, huge position from the central banks in all of the debt that's owned in the world. So the United States Central Bank now has a large percentage of our gross domestic product, which is the Federal Reserve, and other central banks have a very large percentage, and they're holding all this debt. In other words, we're just printing and manufacturing money so that we can keep the debt binge going on, and that's a huge vulnerability.
It is indeed. And to the extent that it is a vulnerability, you have also been warning us for some time that there are those who are poised, if not actually actively pursuing, ways to exploit that vulnerability. Is there any further news on that front, Kevin?
We have the news that there was a leak out at The Intercept that showed that the United Arab Emirates was going to use financial weapons to try and attack Qatar. And they were going to do it to try and end the World Cup being played there. That's just proof that everyone in the world is aware of these financial weapons undermining through derivatives and credit default swaps and so forth, perhaps other than a handful of people in our own government. This is a new game that's being played. You know, we talk about it. We think it's an economic marketplace. Our enemies think it's a global battle space.
And Kevin, apparently the Supreme Allied Commander Europe has been sounding a note about the possibility that we may face not just economic warfare threats from the likes of communist China and Russia, but actually the old-fashioned kinetic kind as well. Indeed, General Dennis Mercier has apparently indicated that he thinks the risk for a major interstate conflict has increased as non-Western powers, including Russia and China, have begun really changing what has been since basically the end of World War II, a U.S.-led balance of power. Do you find that credible?
Well, absolutely. The linchpin quote in the article that was in The Hill says, China is leveraging its economic power to increase defense spending as a foundation of the growing global power strategy. And the point of that is, it starts with economic war. If they undermine our economy and literally steal from us to build up their economy, they then have the ability to acquire the technologies to do the defense spending that puts them in a stronger position relative to us. So it begins with economic war. If we ignore the economic war, we just worsen the situation.
It does seem to be feeding into the other dynamic as well, doesn't it? Which raises another set of questions, Kevin Freeman, and that is, there's a report that came out last week about the surveillance cameras China is manufacturing that are now increasingly being used all over the United States. The U.S. Army, for example, is using them to monitor a base in Missouri, and lots of businesses and even individuals are hanging them in their homes or places of work to keep an eye on them. I'm told that the cameras have been keeping watch on the embassy in Kabul that are made in China. This is a staggering problem, and it kind of calls to mind the idea that we can rely on the Russians to protect us against cyber threats with their software, which has been now recognized to be a vulnerability, not a helpmate. Are there vulnerabilities associated with these cameras going up all over the place as well?
Absolutely. This Hikvision, they currently are being used in China to monitor their citizens, but it's insane to believe that the Chinese would not require something at some aspect to the camera, or at least know the camera so intimately that they could find a vulnerability so that they could hack in and look at everything that we're doing that has a Hikvision camera. We have to be very cautious when any supplier comes to us and offers anything to do with our security, especially if it's a foreign supplier, and especially if it's a foreign supplier like China. So that's a serious problem that we have, and it fits in. The Chinese, you know, have commenting on the unrest in American society, and that's one of the things. They're building up their military. They're stealing our jobs and secrets, and now they're placing cameras so that we can monitor our citizens with those, and then they can also.
Yeah, well, it's one thing that citizens think they're monitoring themselves. If other people are doing it, our own government, heavens forfend, let alone the Chinese, it's a totally different deal. It raises another question. Kevin Freeman, again, you've been thinking about these things in a number of different contexts, but talk a little bit about this problem that we may find similar sorts of vulnerabilities inherent in this so-called Internet of Things, the coming rage, it seems, with everything from your refrigerator to your home security system. How serious a problem is this if, in fact, unwelcome monitors are gaining access to, or perhaps in a position to disrupt, the Internet of Things?
We've talked about this for several years, and a few years ago, I issued warnings because there was the brake problem the brake problem of Toyota automobiles, and all of a sudden, Toyotas had problems with their brakes. The next thing you know, they said, "Well, maybe it was floor mats or something like that." At the same moment, Toyota had just ascended as the world's top automaker, and China was wanting to build their domestic auto industry. And I made the comment, it's possible. I had no proof. I had no evidence whatsoever. But it's possible that a Chinese auto manufacturer could have hacked into Toyota and had a few brake problems and dethroned them as the top automaker. And it was just a theory of to point out the vulnerabilities that we have. Well, that was dismissed entirely. Oh, it's not even possible. But there was an article in the Wall Street Journal recently that said that every car that has these systems could be hacked in. And that's the fact. That's the fact is that if you have cars that are connected to the Internet, whether it's a Tesla or anything else, they have security vulnerabilities. And so the requirement was, well, we'll just require that the automobiles automatically regularly update their software so that they can patch those vulnerabilities, which is just saying they're very real vulnerabilities. You could lock a person in their car. You could use the navigation system and drive them somewhere they don't want to go. You could force acceleration. You could prevent the brakes from working. They could be used as mechanisms to kill people or destroy economies. So they're very vulnerable.
One can only imagine how much more acute that problem becomes when the cars are supposedly driverless, and you've got no possibility of any kind of driver override. It's really an incredible portfolio, and I'm so glad that you are on top of it to the extent anybody is, Kevin Freeman, and we appreciate your visiting with us each week to discuss it. We'll look forward to doing it with you next week. In the meantime, stay well. In the meantime, I hope the rest of you will join us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.